Sunday morning, and about 3-something that morning, you know, when you get a certain age, you have to go different places during the night, and I was having trouble, and I just knew I was in serious trouble, and I wanted to make a phone call at 3-something that morning, but I said, that's not the time to make a phone call and say that you're not able to make it. And so about 5:30, I made the phone call to John. He didn't answer his phone. And I said, oh, so I called Chanel's phone. And Chanel answered the phone. And I know when you get a call that early in the morning, it really does concern you. And I know they were concerned, but I heard that, well, I listened to the lesson myself. John did an outstanding job, and he is my hero. Amen. He's our hero, and so we thank him for taking the whole day on last Lord's Day. Also want to thank God, because you recognize that there's just really one step between you and your health. And so you don't ever take your health, don't ever take it for granted. And so you're humbled by situations like that. So this morning, if I don't get down, you know why, because I want to be able to stay up, amen. And so I want for just a few minutes, thank you, JR, for a beautiful leading us in our songs today, and all the men who worshiped led us in worship today. I want you to go with me to Matthew chapter 6, and I want you to look with me at verse number 9. In this manner, therefore, pray, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I want to use for a subject this morning the Master's pattern for prayer. The Master's pattern for prayer. For he said, in this manner, therefore, pray. What I just read to you is the part of the prayer that we call the Lord's Prayer, but it's actually a prayer that the Lord used to teach us to pray. So properly, more the disciples' prayer is probably the more proper way to see this prayer. But he says, in this manner, therefore, pray you, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. I want to look at, first of all, our Father. And when you think in terms of Jesus saying to us and giving us this pattern, he says, our Father, I put the emphasis on the fact that he is speaking of a person. I realize that that's obvious, but I don't know if we really focus on the personality of the God that we serve. When he says, Father, our Father, I like the fact that that shows relationship. But when we use this pattern that Jesus has given us, I'm hoping that as I go through this lesson, that when you hear our Father, I want you to think of certain wonderful privileges that come with that our Father. The first one that I think of is redemption and mediation. If you and I do not see how God has entered into our lives, created a plan for you and I to have a relationship with him where you and I can call him Father. That's why the Bible says in Galatians 4 and verse number 4, and I want you to follow me if you have your Bibles. Listen to what the Bible says, Galatians 4, verse number 4. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Because ye are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then you are an heir of God through Christ Jesus. So what I want you to see is that when you pray and say, Father, know that a lot went into your ability to call him Father. God put forth a plan to send his Son into this world to become the mediator through which you and I are redeemed, able to be in relationship with him, and able to call him Father. I know when Jesus said and gave this command and gave this pattern prayer, he knew that it was because of his coming, being sent by his Father, that you and I would be able to have this kind of relationship, that we can call him Father. When you say Father, I want you to not only see redemption and mediation, but I'd like for you to also see dependence, protection, and provision. Go with me to Matthew 6 and verse number 25. Just drop down to verse number 25 and look what the Bible says. Therefore I say unto you, this is Jesus in this wonderful sermon, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet, watch what he says, your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, they toil not, neither do they spin. Yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like this. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? In this wonderful text, he uses the fact that your heavenly Father feedeth the birds. Not only is there the privilege that has come through the mediation of Jesus Christ for you to call him Father, but your Father is there to provide for us. You don't have to worry about clothing and these necessities, because God, as your Father, because you have a relationship with him as a father, he's going to see to it. I know you don't believe it sometime, but he is telling you, don't worry about it. Don't get in the business of worrying if you have this relationship with your heavenly Father. So dependence and protection and provision comes to my mind whenever I say the word Father. But then not only do I see the wonderful dependence and protection and provision, but I see the love of God. When you say Father, I know you don't think this way of your Father, but I'm talking about your heavenly Father. Amen. Because all fathers don't live up to our heavenly Father. But our heavenly Father is the pattern that you and I need to monitor and look at and to mimic, because he is perfect. He is a God who loves us. Go to Psalm 103. Psalm 103, And I want to look at verse number 10. I want you to see this. Psalm 103. This is a very beautiful passage which helps us to see the fatherhood of God. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. Aren't you glad of that? For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is the mercy toward them that what? Fear him. God doesn't deal with your Father in heaven. Does not deal with you on the basis of you measuring up and crossing T's and dotting I's. That's not the way that he deals with us. You better be glad, because you never would have been able to experience grace if he approached us that way, because we don't deserve this relationship. But he's a God who deals with us not according to our sins. He's not rewarding us according to our iniquities, but as the heaven is high above the earth, so great, watch this now, so great is the mercy toward them that fear him. The sun is 93 million miles away from the earth. Listen, if the sun is 93 million miles away from the earth, and he says as high as the heavens are above the earth, that his mercy, then that means that God has so much mercy, so much mercy. And I'm glad to know that I have a Heavenly Father who has tremendous amount of mercy as he deals with us. But now watch this. The Bible says, as far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. How did he remove our transgressions from us? Through the mediation, through the redemption of Jesus Christ. Like as a father pitieth his children, has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion or pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust. He knows that we don't measure up. He knows our weakness. As for man, his days are as grass, as flower of the grass. It's a lot more there. Read all of that. But I know my time is going to get away from me. When I think in terms of the Father, I think in terms of mediation, redemption. I think of dependence, protection, provision, and I think of the tremendous love that God has for me. But then also with Father, you have to think in terms, he said, our Father. You cannot just go to him as your Father only. He is our Father, which means that you and I must consider the relationship we have with one another. Don't come before him without understanding that God is no respecter of person. God loves all of his children, and God wants us, as we come to him, to also remember our relationship with our brother. Many times we have already expressed this in our lessons, that don't come to the altar if you have an ought against your brother. Go to your brother, reconcile with him, then come and offer. God says, you cannot say that you love me, who you have not seen, and hate your brother, whom you see daily. And God is telling us that our relationship with him is dependent on us saying, our Father. So as I go through this pattern prayer, when I hear the word, our Father, or the phrase, our Father, I think of redemption. I think of mediation and the great price that God paid in order for me to be able to call him Father. I think of God providing me with all of my necessities, all of the provision. God is the one who protects me. God is the one who guides me. God doesn't come to me out of the point of trying to penalize me, but he comes redeeming me from my sin. That's a wonderful Father. But then I like the fact that he said, which art in heaven. I don't want you to just think of heaven as heaven, but I want you to think of heaven as a place. When you think and pray to God, you want to think in terms of a place. It's very important that you know heaven is a place. It's a habitation. It's a resident. It's where God dwells. When I think of earthly fathers and I say my Father, immediately I go to a place where my Father is. Especially when he was living, I knew if I said my father, immediately I went to the place of Fort Worth, Texas. If you have a father, immediately you go to where your father lives. You can picture the house. You can picture all of that. God wants us, when we pray to him and say, our Father, don't just say it without understanding that we're talking about a place. We're talking about a place where God lives. God wants us to understand that heaven is real and your Father is real. In Philippians 3 and verse number 17, there are other scriptures that I want you to read. Acts 1, 9 through 12. You'll see how that Jesus, after his mediation and after his death and his resurrection, he went back to heaven. And you notice that the people in Acts chapter 1, his disciples, were looking up as he was taken up. Are you with me? And he was taken up into heaven. And that's because that's where he came from. He came down here to this place. From that place, his Father sent him from that place to this place. But Jesus wants us to understand that as we have this relationship with him, that this place is not your permanent dwelling place. Your permanent dwelling place is his Father's place, and that is in heaven. If you understand that there is a place called heaven, and our citizenship is in heaven, Philippians 3 and verse number 17. We are only pilgrims here on this earth. This is what allows us to have a wonderful prayer life, is that while you're going through what you're going through here on this earth, while this is an imperfect place, while there is disease and there is destruction and there is killings and there is hypocrisy, I know that this is not the only place. There is a better place. And in your prayer life, with your Heavenly Father, realize that even Abraham, when God told him to leave the land of the Chaldeans and to go to a place that I shall show you, Abraham knew that going to Canaan was not the place. He knew that there's a place better than Canaan, because all of the sin and all of the corruption that I see in my homeland, I see it in the place that God is calling me to. I don't care where you go in this place on this earth. You can leave Dallas and say, I'm going to get away from the crime, but it's in Fort Worth, it's in Chicago, it's in New York, it's everywhere on this earth. But there is a place, oh Lord have mercy, there is a place where there is no sin, there is no corruption, and that's a place where God lives. And Abraham and his sons looked for a city whose foundation, whose builder and maker is God. So I am simply telling us that you and I need to understand, when you pray to God, understand that he is our Heavenly Father, but he's a Heavenly Father who has a place. And that's why Jesus would say, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. For in my Father's house are many mansions. You're going to have to learn that when you are here on this earth and in your prayer life, you do have a Heavenly Father that cares. And he has a place, and that place is really your place. It's where you will inherit. You will live with him eternally. And so as you go through your situation, I know it gets difficult, but know that God is in heaven, and that is a place. But then the thing that I want you to remember is also, he said, hallowed be thy name. When you think in terms of Father, person, when you think of heaven, think of a place. But when you say hallowed be thy name, I want you to think of preeminence, preeminence. Hallowed be thy name, sanctify, reverence God, keep him holy. Supremacy is with God. Ascendancy is with God. Incomparability is with God. Authority is with God. Excellence is with God. Listen, you got to understand that he is our Heavenly Father, but you can't treat him like he's your buddy. You can't just treat him like he's your friend, like he's your wife or your mate. No, hallowed be thy name. God is so high. God is so much different and a part of what you and I experience on this earth, that you're going to have to learn to see him in his holiness, see him for who he is. And when you do that, I'm telling you, you will learn to appreciate the fact that this holy God, this God that I reverence, is willing to have a relationship with me, a person who is unholy and who is sinful, who is really very dependent on him through the mediation and the redemption that comes through his son, for me to even be able to come into his presence. Do you not know that when God came to Moses, he called him out of a burning bush. He said, Moses, Moses. And Moses turned to see who was calling him. God said, you take off your shoes, for the ground that you stand on is holy ground. We've gotten to the point that we don't make God and keep God in a place of reverence. We just want to make God, he's so close to me and he's this and that. Yes, he is. Please, trust me, he is. But God doesn't want you to make him so much of a buddy that you forget that he is your heavenly Father. And you just don't do everything and anything when it comes to the reverence of God Almighty. God is to be reverenced, and he is to be made holy. Listen to what the psalmist says, Psalm 111, verse number 9 and 10. He sent redemption unto his people. He hath commanded his covenant forever. Holy and reverent is his name. Fear the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And a good understanding, having all they that do his commandments. His praise, watch this. God is to be praised all time for his holiness. Praise all time for his reverence. Holy and reverence is God's name. In other words, some of us, we want to put ourselves in a preeminent position. Oh, that's dangerous. When you get to the point that you want praises of men, and you want the accolades of men, and you want to stand out from men, that's a dangerous place. I know. Go to Matthew 23 and verse number 6. Matthew chapter 23 and verse number 6. I want you to put this on the screen, because God wants you to know that there's a place where I am and there's a place where you are, and you are not where I am. And God wants us to understand that. The Pharisees, they had a problem. That's why this sermon is really being preached by Jesus. He said they loved the uppermost rooms at the feast and the chief seats in the synagogue. Verse number 7. Watch this. And greetings in the marketplace, to be called of men, Rabbi, Rabbi. They love those titles. Watch verse number 8. But be ye not called Rabbi, for what one is your master, even Christ. All ye are brethren. Verse number 9. Watch this. And call no man your father upon the earth, for one is your father, which is where? There it is. Which is where? In heaven. You got to understand. Watch. Go to verse number 10. Hurry right quick. Neither be ye called masters, for what? One is your master, even Christ. I just want you to understand, ladies and gentlemen, God understands the propensity of a man is that he wants to elevate himself. He wants people to look up to him. God is simply saying, there's only one that you can really look up to, and that's me. And God wants us to stay in our place. We are all brethren. We've gotten to the point in our brotherhood that I'm afraid that we have become victimized by what I see in denominationalism, where denominationalism has elevated their preachers to the point that they used to call them reverend, reverend this and reverend that. Y'all might as well just say amen, because you know I'm telling the truth. This is Reverend so-and-so, and this is the right reverend, and this is. Listen. God doesn't want men elevating themselves to a point where they take on the reverence that belongs to God. Now, what we have done, we've also gotten into the habit of calling our preachers pastor. And I'm going to tell you, now, this word pastor is not to be applied to your preacher. The pastors are your elders. Amen. And I'm just flying over this territory, so I think I just go ahead and drop one of these bombs on this one. Because we've gotten to the point in our brotherhood where the senior pastor and this and that. Ladies and gentlemen, the preacher is not the pastor. Amen, amen, amen. Amen, amen. I'm not your pastor. I'm your minister. And the brotherhood has just gotten to the point that we want this elevation. And I know we put this doctor, we got into the point now, we want to be called doctor. Amen. And now, here's what I know. If a person has earned a PhD and done these things, he is a doctor. But if you use it for a title, for a spiritual and religious benefit, then that's wrong. We are all brethren. And so I'm just simply saying that we're going to have to learn to stop getting into the habit of elevating men. The Bible wouldn't have said, ye are all what? Brethren. In other words, well, good preaching. Whether they didn't, y'all didn't look too good on that, but, and I'm serious. And we should not patronize that either. Well, that's the way they do it. If it's wrong, it's wrong. Amen. And then thy kingdom come. I hope I can get back to where I was. But I just think that something needs to be said about that. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Now, this is very important. I understand our Father, the love of God, dependence, protection, and provision that he gives, the mediation that he gives, the fellowship that we have with our brothers and sisters. Heaven is a place. It is a place where God lives and resides, and he's going to bring us to that place where we will inherit with our big brother and our fellow brother who is Jesus Christ. We're going to be in that city, and that's a good sermon within itself. But you're going to have to learn to live in heaven while you're here on earth. Start looking up. Whatever's going on in your life, look up. Look up. Why? Because there is something up there which is called heaven. And then as I close on this part of the sermon, he says, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. The word kingdom is interesting because it's a word which comes from a Greek word, basileia. And this word deals with the right and the authority to the rule over a kingdom. God has always been in authority and the rule over all things. Never has God ever abdicated or been somehow impugned from his ability to have authority and to rule. God has always been in rule. God has always had authority. But God takes his rule and his authority, and then he brings it and applies it in a historical way into the lives of men and women. In Adam and Eve, when God created Adam and Eve, he placed his authority in the Garden of Eden. He placed his rule in the Garden of Eden. His kingdom was in the Garden of Eden. When God called Abraham, and through Abraham and through Jacob, created the children of Israel and brought them out of the land of Egypt, brought them to Sinai, God established his kingdom and his rule with them at Sinai. God's authority and God's rule was among the children of Israel. God wanted them to understand, I'm your provider. I'm your protector. I'm the one that has hallowed you and sanctified you out of the world. I'm the one that you give allegiance to. I'm the one that you must hallow my name. Don't ever take my name and just make my name common among the people. Make sure that you know I'm your God and there is no other God on this earth. God's rule, God's authority right here on this earth. Then Jesus Christ, through his establishment of the church, has now brought the authority and the rule of God to all mankind. While his rule was with Adam and Eve, while his rule was with the children of Israel, through the church of Christ, his rule and his authority is now to be assimilated over the whole world. All men are to come under the authority, the rule, and the domination of Jesus Christ and the Heavenly Father, which is in heaven.
That's why Jesus was able to preach the kingdom of God is at hand. It's because he knew that the church was coming. That's why John the Baptist said, behold, the kingdom of God is at hand. The church is coming. That's why Jesus, on the day before his going back to heaven, he was telling them about the kingdom of God. Told them, wait into Jerusalem until you receive power from on high. When the power came, then the kingdom of God, the rule in the church came. Amen. Walls and light. The kingdom of God, somewhere in this world, the rule and the kingdom of God needs to be applied. It may be your home, it may be your life, wherever it is, but until God rules in your life, his kingdom has not come. Amen, walls, and amen, lights. Well, I felt that in my back. Amen. I'm going to have to stop. Listen, amen. I'm telling you, see, we got to understand his will has to be done on this earth, and it's a beautiful thing. And so may God bless you. So may God keep you. Think in terms, whenever you pray, this is my last point. Here's what he said. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth, watch this, as it is in heaven. In the Sermon on the Mount, here's what he said. After he talked about the lilies of the field and how the Solomon was not arrayed like any of them, here's what he said. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things that you are in need of shall be added unto you. Here's what I want you to think. Father, person, heaven, place. Are you with me? Hallowed be thy name, preeminence. On this one, priority. The kingdom of God must always have priority. I don't care what's going on in your life. The will of God, the rule of God, must become prioritized. God, why did this happen to me? What is this? How is your glory? How are you going to get glory from what's happened to me? If I can't take what happens to me and see how the glory of his kingdom and his will is being done, then I have missed the ability to really have a successful prayer life. Because if I go to God with my problems and my situation, and I haven't even thought about his grand plan for the kingdom, which is worldwide, and I'm down there praying for my little bag, Shelton, that's far more important than your bag. And I want to know, have you tuned in to my will? I'm going to show you something. This is just because I had to apply what I preach. When the circumstance happened to me on Sunday morning, and I knew that I needed immediately, here's what I said. There's something that God wants to do. That involves his kingdom. And here's what I came up with. When John, I listened to the sermon, listened to it, and he preached on superheroes. And they tell me that they had the stage with superhero in the state. Well, the sermon I was going to preach didn't fit the stage. What I was going to preach didn't fit
what was going to be done. They're weak. So I said, oh, I don't want your sermon. I want this one. So you're going to be crippled this morning where the people can hear the real superhero. So I was okay. I rejoice because I saw God working. If you interpret what happens to you through the kingdom, you'd be surprised how it'll affect what you're going through, because you realize that God is getting glory and honor. And I don't know what your situation is, but I do know that if you don't prioritize the kingdom and keep the kingdom first, whatever your need is may be postponed because you haven't got it right yet. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Let's watch God. Let's just watch God work. He's a mighty God. He's a mighty God. If you're not a child of God, you can't call him Father. If you don't know Jesus, you can't call him Father. That's a whole nother story, just to even talk about Father and how Jesus used it. But listen, come to him. You've heard the gospel through Jesus Christ, through this great lesson. You know that redemption comes through him. Will you give your life to Jesus Christ? Will you make him your Lord and your Savior? Will you say that I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Will you repent of your sin? Will you allow yourself to go down in water and be identified with him? Coming up, being able to become a child of God, to call him Father, and he'll become everything that you'll need. Will you come? Come right now while together we stand and sing. Will you come?
I am resolved no longer to linger, charmed by the world.